let's just jump over to immigration. Obviously, we're seeing this administration has placed gasoline on a fire like I think folks have never seen before as far as immigration enforcement goes, criminally and civilly. Eric, did you want to speak to some recent enforcement efforts that you thought were important for everybody to be mindful of?
Yeah, I'll kick it off, and then I'll kick it over to Ed, who's actually had hands-on prosecutorial experience on this issue. But, I mean, everyone is aware of what happened recently in Mississippi. Seven food processing plants were raided, and about 680 workers, undocumented, were arrested. To date, there have been, I think, around 40 arrest warrants issued. Primarily, the targets of those arrest warrants have been the undocumented workers. But the interesting thing that I think I don't know we're all looking at is the extent to which this is going to filter up the chain to involve potential criminal exposure by plant managers, by company officials. And that's kind of where I want to kind of get your thoughts, Ed, in terms of how are these cases put together, what is workplace enforcement, and how can it result in actual potential criminal liability for those who are running the companies?
Well, there's been a lot of action done in the Southern District of Texas against employers who knowingly hire undocumented employees or fraudulently documented employees. It largely comes down to the absence of a compliance officer and an HR staff that simply wants to fill slots. And generally, it's to fill them at a low wage, whereas if you do it the right way, you're going to find difficulty filling these slots with individuals who are otherwise authorized to work in the United States. So you'll typically see it in an unair-conditioned environment, in meat processing, chicken plants. We had Action Rags here in Houston. Shipley Donut had an issue years ago. Even waste management, putting workers on dump trucks to come all around Houston. They paid a huge fee for allowing a staffing company out of Boston to basically handle their hiring and did so recklessly. A lot of times you show this through the I-9 audit process, and that is where the Homeland Security's investigations goes in and they do an audit and they basically warn the company, you got to clean up this mess. And when we show that they were warned and then we still show a high percentage of employees whose W-2s don't match, there's Social Security anomalies, we're able to figure out whether there's a large percentage of the existing workforce that's either undocumented or fraudulently documented. It's then that we plan out a search warrant and conduct a raid. When we have that kind of information in an affidavit for a judge, we're going to go to the work site. The issue now is, are we taking all those people into custody and deporting them, or are we finding a lot of them with families and with children at home, and there's let that work its way out and decide who our witnesses are. But the companies have to be careful when they engage in these practices. We also know that we can use a statute that basically says they're acting in reckless disregard, so we don't even have to show specific intent, that they're in reckless disregard of inducing and encouraging unlawful immigration. And we've used that criminal statute successfully, and companies are alarmed when they hire you guys to come in and represent them, and they're realizing that their managers and their staff are at great risk for engaging in a pattern and practice of hiring over a period of time that involves a significant percentage of the workforce.
There were reports out of the Mississippi cases, for example, that many of the plant workers were advised by their managers that, you know, it was okay to go ahead and wear those ankle monitors. So talk about, the potential of showing actual knowledge or reckless disregard, as Ed is saying. Now, the other question I have for you is this kind of limited to these workplaces, the kind of traditional workplaces where large numbers of undocumented workers might be placed just based on living conditions and working conditions, or is this something that other companies that hire foreign workers should be concerned about?
I think every employer should be concerned because they're now even looking at landscape companies, because the legitimate landscaping company who makes sure that they have U.S. workers can no longer compete. And they have to shut their business down because of the prevalence of undocumented workers, with one legitimate manager and a legitimate owner using undocs to go out and do all the work. So it stretches across every employment, all the way up to a huge IFCO, which paid a significant amount and had raids throughout the country, over 1,000 Mississippi, I think, was less than that. We had over 1,000 people taken into custody throughout the country who were undocumented or fraudulently documented working for the pallet company, IFCO, in Houston. So we've had a number of experiences where I think the message is out, and that employers need to be very careful in this regard, particularly in the current administration. That pendulum swings back and forth. I've seen it happen over the 30-some years in the Department of Justice. We see the priorities change. Right now, immigration is a very significant priority for the executive branch under this president.
I think it's also worth adding that in addition to the criminal enforcement, there has been a civil enforcement from DOJ like we've never seen before. And if you look at the press releases, it's a division of DOJ Civil called IER. If you look at their press releases, they're settling 2- and 3-year investigations that are just resource sucks for defendants. They're settling them for like $10,000, $15,000, $30,000, very small level amounts. But these are long-term investigations that your clients have to trudge through. Giant document productions, you know, witness interviews, all that kind of stuff. So, it's a multifaceted attack by this by the department.